vineyard.
Somos Viña.
We are Vineyard.
Welcome to the We Are Vineyard podcast, conversations to help us grow with Jesus and each other. In today's special season finale, our host Jay Pathick talks with Danielle Pathick about some of the special moments they've experienced leading in the vineyard in the past year. This will be our last episode until February as we take a break for the month of January, but we look forward to seeing you then with exciting new content. For now, let's listen in.
All right, Dee, here we are doing our end of year podcast follow-up, We Are Vineyard. We just want to review some of the things that we've been seeing or learning or thinking through over as we come into the end of this year. It's really our second year in this role, so still feels pretty new. There's a lot that's happened. Maybe I'll ask you the first question, which is, what do you think is one of the most impactful moments for you this year in your role?
One of the most impactful moments for me would be getting the financial well-being program up off the ground. That was such a labor of love. We hired a program manager about a year ago and launched our first cohort of 12 very brave pastor couples to be able to test some of the material out and start the learning process with that cohort. So that felt like a big deal, especially for the vineyard. And if you look at kind of the larger culture building vision that we had, that was a significant start. So that was maybe around May. Mm-hmm. And we are already going to be launching cohort number 2 at the beginning of the year for 2024. So we're already recruiting for that. And this time we're going to expand it to about 40 couples. So I feel very proud of that. I could add in another thing if that's...
Well, wait, let me ask about that first.
Oh, sure.
So what would be like a finance, like when you say that, like what's an example you can use without naming somebody's name, like maybe even just more generally, like what's the impact of that? Like,
well, I mean, part of what we were trying to do, I mean, when I talk about courage, it really is very courageous because you get in there and we, you know, we both know that money is quite the vulnerable topic to talk about, you know, whether you have to acknowledge your income and look at the ways that you wish that maybe you were making more money, or maybe it's the way that you're spending your money and looking at the debt or the savings that you have as a family. And all these couples have been extraordinarily open and honest about their situations. And part of our goal behind with all the different people that are working with this program is to provide as much dignity as possible. I mean, we all have places that we feel maybe a little nervous about, or that, you know, maybe even ashamed or embarrassed. And so The work in these cohort groups is to provide a lot of safety for these couples to be able to share and talk and then make goals how they want it to grow. So I know that very specifically we asked about the amount of debt that couples were carrying, whether that be medical debt or car debt. It could even be school debt or even consumer. You know, with our cohort group, it was quite a large number that we came across. I mean, I believe it was maybe almost $1 million of debt. So, which honestly, if you compare it with the numbers across the U.S., it's pretty comparable. So I'm not saying that to in any way embarrass our couples in any way whatsoever, but it was just good to have hard data of what we were looking for. And already, I mean, already, Jay, we have couples paying off tens of thousands of dollars of debt.
That's so great.
They're making better decisions with their money. They're selling things. They're looking at their car situations and trying to, you know, sell their new used cars that they're using, that they have leases on, and trying to buy some used cars. And so those are the sorts of things that you want to pay attention to, because you can tell that this learning and education and just accountability is holding couples to a greater standard of wanting to live wisely. So That's exciting.
That is cool. And you were saying you had another story you were going to say.
Well, at the very end of the year, the A&Ds have a partnership that we are doing with the super regions. If those of you...
What's an A&D?
An A&D would be Associate National Director. Yep. And with the areas that we're overseeing, they're so vitally important to the health of the vineyard. we are partnering with regions at a time, like certain regions at a time, just really downloading and giving not only the vision, but some content within our area to the vineyard pastors in that area. So it's been a really fun, honestly, it's been a challenge, but then also kind of a fun project to work on. And partly, well, and by the way, these are 6 month kind of increments that we're concentrating in these different regions with. So by the end of a year and a half, pastoral health, which is what I oversee, I will have touched every region in the U.S. And again, that was our attempt to try to figure out how to, you know, look at a nationwide movement and mm-hmm. try to put these big vision areas in there. So anyways, I felt very clearly that I wanted to have a pastoral health assessment. We've done that in various spaces in the vineyard, but nothing this broad-based. And so inked the deal probably a couple months ago with an organization that's going to be helping us look at the holistic health of our pastors and our leaders. And this isn't going out just to lead pastors, this is going out to staff pastors as well. And we are going to start getting that data, not specific data of pastors, because we want to honor the privacy of the pastor situation, but we're going to get the broad data, like those trends, and see what exactly is happening within our regions, our areas. I'm very excited. We're going to get the first look at that in January. So for example, you know, if we're looking at the Midwest Central, which would be one of the regions I'm working with currently right now, we'll be able to see how many pastors desire to grow in their marriage so that I can specifically look at regional leaders and area leaders and really target certain issues that pastors are dealing with. Mm. We can drop some different resourcing in there, some different support kind of help. So it just feels as if it's a very, very specific way to be able to help and support our vineyard pastors in a way that we have not been able to do before.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
What about you? What are some things that you've been excited about over this last year?
I mean, I really enjoyed being at all the regionals and seeing so many different kinds of things that people are doing. And the thing that strikes me the most looking out over the year is just how different our regions really are.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I guess in some ways that should be obvious. I mean, the U.S. is pretty vast and different in scope and culture. And so, I mean, the vineyard definitely reflects that. Like, you know, though we're one family with very similar values and theological convictions, the expressions of the way that the vineyard works in different cities and counties, different regions could not be really more different. And they reflect the places. And so I think for me, it was just really interesting and like eye-opening to watch all the different kinds of churches across the country and the ways all those different churches try to express vineyard values. And I think I was just really encouraged looking out over the whole movement, seeing the strong commitment to the poor. You know, there's just so many interesting ways that vineyard churches are caring for marginalized people, the poor, homeless, refugees, immigrants, people in recovery. You know, I get to learn about a really interesting church in Southern California that has like a residential plan for people to live and go through a recovery process. And, you know, it's just, there's so many churches that have big warehouses that, you know, give people clothing and thrift stores. And they're not always big churches. So churches that don't have a lot of money still saying, you know, our commitment is so strong to the poor, to homeless people, that we're going to open our building. We're going to have a food pantry. We're going to have a way to teach an ESL class. I mean, I'm just so blown away at how committed our movement is across the board to caring for people on the margins. People are just vulnerable. So that's really, really cool. I mean, I think for me, a big moment is we took a trip with our national team on a civil rights tour.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was very impactful for me. Shout out to the ECC. They were very kind.
What's the ECC?
Evangelical Covenant Churches.
They're our friends now.
They are our friends, and they've done this kind of thing for decades. And we went with one of their key leaders, a guy named Dominique Gilliard, and we went with our whole national team, plus some others, just kind of thrown in and throughout, you know, the South. Kind of the tour the Freedom Riders would be on a big bus around in Atlanta, and then Birmingham, Montgomery,
Memphis.
So we walked across the bridge at Selma. I mean, and you know, there's different museums and things. We also watched movies on the bus and then had discussions that were curated on like, how do we understand this story and what are we learning and what's the impact? And it was really impactful. There's something about immersive experiences like that that stick differently, you know, and to be able to be with folks that you work with and ask questions together, like, what about this is new, or what are we learning, or what does this mean for us? And to think about the vineyard through that lens, like, how is diversity not just some kind of social action program, but representing the kingdom of God and being a part of how God is reconciling all things together in Him. And it's sort of what is still and will be this next year, a heightened political moment. It's important to moor ourselves in the kingdom and not just in sort of political action. So it was really encouraging. It was tiring. It was a lot of work over a few days. You know, lots of conversations and learning all the way back. But I'm really, really grateful for that opportunity. I think it helped set us up, and we're trying to figure out how to expand that for leaders in the vineyard. So that was really impactful for me personally.
Yeah.
I got to do a bunch of really cool Holy Spirit conferences and experiences outside of, you know, our regional, some inside the vineyard, some outside the vineyard. And the thing that really struck me is how open all kinds of movements are to really what we give and bring in the vineyard ministry in the Spirit. So lots of conferences with churches that aren't in the vineyard talking about the ministry and the power of the Spirit and watching God heal and speak prophetically and people being filled with the Spirit who've never experienced that, leaders, pastors. So yeah, that was wild. I mean, I can think of a lot of little stories of...
Give us one. I love Holy Spirit stories.
Yeah, I mean, well, one in the vineyard is I was at the Columbus Vineyard doing their Holy Spirit conference. And as far as we can tell, I think a guy who couldn't see can see.
Oh my goodness. Really?
Yeah. Like he wasn't entirely blind, but he was mostly blind. And kind of, I did this thing where I had people come up who'd never prayed for the sick. And we prayed for them to be empowered, and then we turned them around and paired them up with people and prayed for folks. And so somebody had never prayed for anybody, saw significant healing in another person. So they're working on, you know, a doctor's report and all that stuff. So that was pretty crazy. And then at a church, a group of churches in New York City, Hope Churches, and they hosted a thing and brought pastors in and saw a pastor who, you know, wasn't sure what he thought about all this stuff, but had a moment where, I mean, he was filled with the Spirit, started speaking tongues, and, you know, it was a guy that is effectively a cessationist, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit filled, and has followed up with me a few times. So,
oh, that's neat.
Yeah, those are all things that are, of course, our heritage, or things that we've done historically.
Well, and that's neat that you had an opportunity to do that with churches outside the vineyard as well.
So yeah.
They were asking you to bring this really sweet kind of experience that we know of the vineyard to their churches. I think that's
neat. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it was really encouraging. And, that would be another question. So another question we have is, what surprised you the most this year working with our pastors?
I know that, I mean, you mentioned a minute ago about the diversity in the vineyard, and I actually would have said that as well. I don't know if it surprised me, but it definitely was very noticeable. And I remember 2 years ago, I mean, when we were really praying and discerning, and we were asking the question before the Lord, like, what is the vineyard? Like, what is the vineyard in the U.S.? And trying to wrap our minds around that, we knew that it was going to be very different from... We couldn't just assume that it was the experience that we had. And so I do think that it's been such an educational experience to be able to visit different regions and be able to see what they're doing. So I actually would have said a very similar thing to what you said as well. Let me think about that for a moment. Do you have anything to add to that question?
I do. If I'm just going to be really forthright, I think I've been surprised at really the lasting effects of COVID on a lot of churches. I'm just aware in different regions and different sizes of churches, different demographics of churches, there's pastors that not just haven't recovered from COVID, but the impact on their leadership is so severe. You know, they don't have anything that resembles the church that they had. And I think just the sort of fatigue, the effect of that on a lot of leaders and pastors. And what it's done for a lot of pastors is surface stuff that maybe was latent. You know, I think there's a lot of strain in marriages, a lot of conflict, and maybe even just relationally and families. And I don't know if you attribute that entirely to COVID or it's a life cycle thing. I don't know. But I think just seeing more of the scope of the vineyard, I've been surprised at how many are really deeply struggling. And that, and in that sense, I think there's a lot of vineyard churches that are really grateful for some of the work we've gotten to do. You know, with the changes the last 2 years, we have a lot more resource available, staff and resources and processes like you were talking about. And so a lot of folks are better for that, but it's clear that, man, there's a lot of pastors that need a lot of help at their own personal life, as well as in the life of their church, to sort of resolve some of the lingering effects of pressure, you know, from specifically from COVID. I've been a little surprised at the depth of some of that crisis. And to be honest, just even in the vineyard, to see how many vineyard pastors aren't connected to other vineyard pastors.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is, I mean, this job we do is very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Period. There's a lot that makes this a difficult job, but to imagine doing that almost in isolation, or actually maybe in frustration with other churches near you, man, that just makes it harder. I'm encouraged to see progress in a lot of those areas. I mean, there's areas that had never really met together, or met together every few years, are now meeting together every month, or people are forming friendships and connections inside of just the movement. And I'm just seeing an uplift there, but I guess I didn't know quite how isolated and how many pastors are really just suffering. And so I'm encouraged to see momentum and change. I'm hopeful that that'll continue to happen. But if I'm honest, I was pretty surprised. And even if you're listening now and you're like, you know, there is that one vineyard pastor I never see or I haven't talked to in 2 years, it might be worth grabbing a cup of coffee or something. But yeah.
Definitely. That really kind of made me start thinking about, we have known that there's pastors that are making big shifts with their roles. They're wanting to work a succession plan and or bring another pastor on. Even though we knew that that was going to be a big issue for the vineyard, or a big project, to be able to wrap our minds around, to hear how many people were in that situation and having them tell a story or describe exactly what they're dealing with. And then to take that one step further, how many people literally don't know what to do for a next step. And I mean, who teaches that, right? Like, I mean, we don't enter into ministry being taught immediately how to work a succession plan. So that's a hard thing to be able to learn how to do that. And so while we've heard some successful stories in that of people getting the help that they need and or maybe intuiting, which I would place little odds that we just all know how to intuit succession, but maybe somebody could. We've also heard some pretty painful stories of people ending this part in their career and in their kind of vocational life and their ministry calling in a pretty painful way. Like, it has not been supportive, and it has not gone the way that they wished that it would have gone. There was one person that will remain nameless. I don't even know actually who it is, but we prayed for him at a regional conference that was newly appointed to be a senior leader of a church, but he had just started going to the church maybe 3 weeks before that. And the pastor saw him in a crowd and was like, "Hey, you, I think that you're the next person, and I'm going to be gone in 3 weeks, and I need you to pray about this." And this guy said yes in the middle of it. I can't believe that, because he obviously had no idea what he was getting into. But we need to think about more comprehensive plans to be able to help our pastors. That feels very, very urgent. We are in the middle of that work. We are going to continue that in a much more thorough way this next year. But I am very aware of the immediacy of the issue for our vineyard leaders and our pastors. We need assessment for the health of the churches, as well as the health of the pastors, and trying to develop leaders. I mean, develop like leaders in the vineyard that would love to take over these churches. So we have a lot of work to do, but that was something that I was very aware of this year, just sitting and talking with people, whether it be at a conference or mm-hmm. A regional gathering, an area gathering, that you are not alone. So again, if you are listening to this and you are in that situation and you don't know what to do or you need to talk with somebody, we are definitely putting some things together and you are not alone.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, and that'd be worth thinking about as we tip forward to this next year. I think I'm really excited for our Better Together gathering in April. That's really, really exciting. You know, our association's all coming together. I think that's going to continue to move the ball for us to keep pulling folks together. I'm excited for our national conferences. You know, to have two turns out is double the work.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Because we attempted we pulled off one conference on the East Coast that was kind of family style camping, not camping, but I mean, just kind of gathering together and in on-site and then around. Why would we move to two conferences? What was the feedback?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Danielle. what I would say is we're hoping we can make it so that almost everyone can drive to one of those locations. You know, what we've realized is how many of our pastors, the determining factor of if they can come and their leadership teams can come is if they can drive. So the travel component makes a big piece of it. And so, yeah, we're really excited to be able to host East and West. People haven't figured this out. We're reserving the right to change how we do this conference to fit what we think is best for the moment. You know, we've had a global conference. We've had two conferences. We've had now a family style. We've had more than one different version because we're trying to discern what's most helpful for what we're doing in that window. So yeah, Cincinnati and Denver, really, really excited because I'm hoping a lot of our folks can make it and we're trying to lower the price point to where more people can attend. Yeah, I mean, all the information's out there, but I'm excited because it really also leads us into a year where we're thinking about some of our theological heritage, how we're connected to the historic church, and, you know, one of the frames we're thinking about there is thinking about ordination. Many people know this, but some might not, but this is effectively the 50th anniversary of Ken Gullickson's
first church plant.
Yeah. And so,
this next year, 2024, right?
That's right.
Okay.
So we'll be able to, you know, tell some stories about that. What does that mean? Why is that significant? Et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it feels like, you know, and it's always a fun gathering to be together, but there's some ways that we can celebrate what's been behind us and then looking forward to, you know, what do we think that means for us moving forward over the next year and years to come? So, yeah, it feels like a big deal. So, anyway, all those things are exciting things that we're cascading forward into that I feel really hopeful about and encouraged about.
It's going to be a good year. This next year.
It's also going to be kind of wild. I mean, you think about this election year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm praying a lot for our pastors and our churches to, you know, do their best to keep people focused on the kingdom of God and aware of how our hope is in Jesus. Because there's going to be a lot of tension pastors are going to have to navigate. And I'm praying for that. I'm praying God helps our pastors and our churches to be a place of peace and conflict resolution in the midst of, I think, what will be a lot of intensity. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll be really peaceful and easy. Yeah, probably not. But yeah, anyway, so I am praying a lot for that and trying to think of some tools that might help us navigate with our leaders, our families. There's a lot upcoming this year.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else you're excited about this year? Or want to say in closing about this year and thinking about next year?
Our 25 year was this last year, and we didn't quite get a space to celebrate. So this year we're going to do that, right?
Oh, Danielle, don't do that. We're going to get all these people are going to write me now and say, Jay, why aren't you?
Oh, no. Please don't do that. No. We have plans this next year.
You wrote in our staff stuff that we got a Christmas tree late, and so I have got like freaking 30 messages from people like,
oh, please,
why
don't
doesn't
do that,
your
guys.
Wife have a tree? Why aren't you doing something about that?
No. We have plans this
so now people
year,
are going to offer us vacations and stuff.
Sorry, I just was adding something personal.
I'm just teasing. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I've got a lot that's spare last year with our youngest in home too. So that's kind of, you know. So anyway. Okay. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry
Happy New
Christmas.
Year. Super, super grateful for this family and this incredible privilege and honor we have to lead in this moment.
We love you all.
We love you guys. Yes. Praying for you.
Bye-bye.
The We Are Vineyard podcast is a production from the team at Vineyard USA. If you've been enjoying the podcast, here's a few ways you can help us. Leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice. This helps more people find us. Connect with us online for additional resources. Our website is vineyardusa.org, and we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at @vineyardusa. Thanks for listening. See you next week.